Hey everybody, welcome back to another Over Sharon podcast. Back with you again, it's Brandon and Sharon. I forgot what I was going to say. And I kind of want to open up with a small little quote from the Tao. And it goes something like this. Those who know don't talk. Those who talk don't know.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, and the reason I bring that up is just to let everyone know that hey, we're just oversharing over here. It doesn't mean we know anything. You know, we get it. We're just showing our point of view, which doesn't mean anything, just right? Squat. That's right. We don't take ourselves too seriously here at Oversharing. Anyway, Sharon, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are awesome. You?
Never been better. It just keeps getting better. It's crazy, I tell you. Right. You ride that wave. Yeah, I had a really good time. And I'm excited. So, but what are we talking about today? Because that's kind of an exciting topic.
So we're talking about the Mandela effect. And I wanted to bring this up because this guy I know on a Discord group brought it up to me relatively recently, within the last few weeks. And I was actually surprised at first, because when he started bringing up examples, I'll preface everything by saying, I don't know anything about this whole topic with regards to who's talking about what on YouTube or who's saying what. I've never really researched this topic. So I'm just going by what he told me briefly. You're laughing at me? No, I'm just kidding.
I'm just laughing at the concept because... Yeah. Well, the way we're going to tackle this whole subject is we're definitely not experts on this, but I know a little more, bit too. So we know enough to establish a narrative, I guess, but go ahead.
Or, you know, to.
To paint ponder, a picture.
To ponder on it and to speculate. Because when he first brought it up to me, he was giving me examples and I had heard about this topic maybe months ago, maybe even as far as a year ago. Prior to that, I don't know that I remember hearing much about it. But when I had heard about it before, it was just stuff. And I remember it being stuff that really just didn't even matter. Like, it seemed like it didn't matter. It was like the Berenstain Bears. No, it's the Berenstain Bears. Okay. Does that effing matter in light? Like, does it really matter? Sorry. Getting on topic, but anyway,
I love it. You're oversharing. No, it's
good. I'm already oversharing. Okay. No. So anyway, he brought up some other things, which right as I'm talking to him, because we ended up talking on Discord for a little while. It was funny because it was very like random. Like he was on the group chat there, and I was like, oh, he must want to chat, like if he's waiting for anybody to just like drop in and just chat. So I was like, oh, I'll just say hi. And I'd only seen him in the chat before. In just like the text version. I had never really spoken to him before, so I didn't really know him that well. But he actually is responsible for turning me on to Mark Passio and some of these other concepts. So I value his insight and some of the topics he was bringing up because they were valid and important. Yeah. So Mark Passio and then the EWAR video about the lost history of the flat earth. So that he's the one who brought that up to another guy in the group and that guy shared it with us. So, anyway, that guy and I were talking, he was bringing up topics about examples of the Mandela effect. And at the time I was just kind of like, oh, well, that's interesting. Oh, well, that's weird. But like the next day I sat and thought about it and I just was like, does this really matter? And like, I was coming up for an explanation for how that could have happened or why that would have happened for each and every example. And so, but anyway, I digress. We shall continue the discussion. Brandon, you tell me.
Why don't you give us an example?
Oh, well, I was going to ask you first when you first heard about it.
Okay. All right. I think that I first heard about it probably when Owen Benjamin started talking about it. And I also heard about it around the same time from another channel. And they were talking about, I think, if you build it, they will come, or if you build it, he will come. It's from the,
I've heard that one too. I heard Big Bear talk about that.
And then also the Kit Kat. Have you heard of the Kit Kat one? They said there used to be a dash in the Kit Kat.
I haven't heard that one, but
that's one. And so I was thinking back on these, and I kind of, it really does resonate with me, because I'm like, oh, maybe that is true. Maybe somehow things did change, because it sounds like it would make sense, because I do feel like I remember there being a dash on the Kit Kat bar, because there was like an old joke about that, about how much chocolate they would have because of the dash between the Kit Kat or something like that. I can't remember what it was, but it was like, you know, you get all the chocolate from the dash or something like that. So that kind of piqued my interest a little bit, but I never really dug deep down any rabbit holes about it. But I've heard Matt from Quantum of Consciousness talk about it a lot. And I know he's a big fan of it. So I've heard him speak a lot, but not like, I've never watched one of his videos about it. He just references a lot, and he speaks about how it could work and different things like that. So in the way he talks about it, it does make a lot of sense. So it's not like we're here bashing anybody that believes in the Mandela. And I also did want to say that the reason I decided to talk about this so soon was because I was just on the highway the other day and I saw a license plate that said Mandela. And I took a picture, but I had the guy with me take a picture because I was driving and we were on like 95 crazy. Like, yeah, it was just so, I mean, I could have pulled off the picture if it was me driving by myself, but I want to put this poor kid's life in danger for a silly picture. So I had him take it. But anyway, so I was immediately dying laughing because we were just talking about the Mandela effect. And of course, I'm sure this person had it because of Nelson Mandela or whatever. I mean, you know, but my joke was like, what did this plate say yesterday? You know, like, but I feel like when I heard Owen break it down in his way to kind of, you know, quote unquote debunk it or whatever you want to say, I really thought it resonated with me as well. It made a lot of sense. So, but yeah, that's one of the first, that's the first time I guess I came across it. And that's about the depth I went into it. Like I said, I didn't go too deep, but I understand the whole concept and I've heard several examples of it.
Okay. So one of the things that that guy,
or, you know, maybe we should explain, you know, because what if someone's listening and they don't know what the Mandela effect is? Okay. So I'll give a quick breakdown.
Please do.
Yes. Of what we know. Yeah, we should, you know, I might even clip this and put it in the beginning of the video, but, so what the Mandela effect is, from my understanding, is people will claim that things now that exist, such as we talked about that movie, Field of Dreams, right? This is a movie came out in the 80s and it's a Kevin Costner movie. He builds a stadium in his field that he owns a farm. And then, you know, his dad comes back as a ghost or something. And anyway, he throughout the movie, he hears this voice saying, if you build it, he will come. Or that's what people say it says now. And they say that it used to say, if you build it, he will come. I'm sorry. They said, yeah, it used to say, if you build it, they will come. If you build it, they will come. That's what everybody remembers. Like, I remember being that. And how does it say now in the movie, if you build it, he will come? So people will say that somehow reality has changed. And just like the Berenstain and the Berenstain Bears. So a lot of people remember it as the Berenstain Bears. They're like, I thought it was the Berenstain Bears. I think I might have this one backwards. And then other people are like, no, it's the Berenstain Bears.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
I don't even know which is which, but for me, I always thought it was EIN, but I could be wrong. And maybe is Mandela effect.
Yeah, we're just giving, obviously we're not experts. That's why we're trying to tell people too. So that's just a quick breakdown of what it is. So just so you know, I guess, just to get an idea. And people do this with, like I said, with the Kit Kat dash. They say that the Kit Kats used to have a dash in the chocolate between Kit and Kat, because like it'll say Kit Kat and it's taken out of the chocolate. So they say there used to be a dash in between them and now there's not. And then, but it's not like they changed it. The company changed it. The company will say it's always been that way. There's never been a dash. You guys are crazy. And then there's people that actually remember it being a dash. And then they'll say it's a Mandela effect. They changed reality. So that's what the Mandela effect is.
So with that said, I was going.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to mention how this guy was explaining it to me. We'll call him Walter. So Walter was telling me that could it be that there are these parallel universes and they're going along each other, you know, whatever. And then at one point they merge, and that's where you get the Mandela effect, because one of them merges onto the other. And then the one that had all those other changes doesn't have the changes anymore, obviously. And he says that because there are people who remember a certain way, and then there are people who say, no, it's always been that way. So it's almost like a 50-50 thing, where some people say, no, it was always this way, and other people will say, no, it's always this way.
Yeah, well, exactly. Some people will say there's always been no dash in the Kit Kat, and some people say, no, back in the day there used to be a dash. I swear to God, I remember it. And then if you ask the Kit Kat people, like, no, there was never a dash. You guys are nuts. So,
right. Yeah. So to me, I wonder, and I'll give more examples in a second, but it makes me wonder for the people who, don't remember things change, like they know that it was always that way. What if those are people who are just very much in control of their minds and their memories, and they just remember things correctly, whereas other people might be easily manipulated in their minds to potentially remember something different, because you can't trust your own memory sometimes. I mean, there have been lots of psychological or I don't even know which word is correct, but there have been experiments where you, like, just by repetition or something, you can change somebody's memory of something, just by, you know, hinting at something else, you can change their memory about the actual events of something happening. So you can't trust people just because they say, well, I swear that I, because here's the thing. Okay. So we'll do an example. So, one of the examples that he gave me was, something in the Bible. And I'm going to try to find it. So here's one. He said something about in Isaiah 11:6, it says, everybody remembers, well, quotes, everybody remembers that it was that the lion was lying down with the lamb, and the lion shall lie down with the lamb. Well, when you actually look at the scripture, because I did, I actually was like, you know, I'm going to look this up because this is interesting. So I looked it up, and I could look it up again, but it's going to take me some time to read the actual scripture. But it doesn't say the lion shall lie down with the lamb, but the lion is in that scripture. It says something about the goat shall lie down with the lamb, and the something, something, and the something, and the lion. So it, like, the lion is in there. So it's like saying all the animals are going to lie down together, basically, is what it's saying. So it's just a paraphrase. It's just like saying, you know, it's just like making it shorter so that it's repeatable.
Have you tried looking?
It's not like it's wrong.
Yeah. Well, another thing too, have you tried looking, just searching for lion and the lamb and seeing if maybe there was a book or like a religious book or like a catechism or CCD story called The Lion and the Lamb? Because what I was going to get into, and you nailed a lot of these points with the repetition and with people being manipulated, what could really, another way to kind of break it down is to say that because of the culture and society we exist in, we are subject to like a lot of these commercials and all these things, right? In like different shows or like books or whatever it is. And sometimes these things go viral. And a good example that I'll bring it to, because see, the Kit Kat thing, that could just be Kit Kat trolling everybody. They could have used to have a dash and they're like, let's get in board of this Mandela. People talk about Kit Kats. Cause you can't really, I guess you could prove it, but you know, but anyway, cause that thing, you know, Kit Kats changed around time, but a movie like Field of Dreams was only around once. So they don't make it every year. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's not like Kit Kats. So you can look at something like Field of Dreams and the same.
Speaking of Field of Dreams.
Yes.
Didn't you say that there was one time we were talking about this, you said there was like a commercial
spoiler
that said,
yeah, that's where I was going.
Aha.
Uh-huh. Look at that. We're on sync. I love this. Yeah. Because when we had that conversation, what I came to, and I think even because this is when I was watching Owen Benjamin break it down, and he was talking about this specifically because he went back and watched the movie. And so the point of contention, just so everyone's on the same page here with the Mandela effect in this movie, Field of Dreams, is there's this ghost or whatever, this voice that keeps saying to Kevin Costner's character, if you build it, he will come, right? Now, everybody says, well, now the Mandela people or the people say, a lot of people say, I thought it used to say, if you build it, they will come, meaning the whole team, right? Now, Owen Benjamin went back and watched this movie. I guess a bunch of them was talking about it. And he was saying how the movie wouldn't make sense if it was, if you build it, they will come, because it was always talking about his father and then everything, right? So, and he said there was different things maybe at the time and the zeitgeist and people remember it wrong, you know, and I was thinking about it a lot because I think there was a commercial. I can't remember if it was like an Oldsmobile commercial or something, some commercial, and it was about Field of Dreams. And they would say, if you build it, they will come in the commercial. Now, how many times, you know, I'm pretty sure this could be something, again, my brain maybe could be creating, but this is, I think, how a lot of this Mandela effect stuff works. But I do want to say, I want to pause really quick. I'll bring us back to that commercial, but I do want to say that a lot of these things like Mandela effect, I think there is some truth in there somewhere. There's something about it that, because I feel just like Amanda Vollmer talked about with the double cross thing, right? So when we talk about something that happens out in the world, you see JFK get shot, and then some people think it was Lee Harvey Oswald, one shooter. Some people think it was a conspiracy. It was the CIA. That's the two crosses. And then some people will take it further and they'll say, well, maybe there was a whole different thing going on. You know, JFK was an actor and it's just all manipulation at one level and all this stuff, right? So to take it further with the Mandela in that same respect, that could be the double cross. It could be normal reality, right? And then the Mandela effect thing is this other cross that you're supposed to believe. And it doesn't mean that all the things change, but there could be an aspect of a reality that we don't quite understand that hasn't been explained to us, where things either do maybe change or appear to change because of the way reality works and the way we perceive it. So I think there could be something to this Mandela effect idea, but I think the Mandela effect is a psyop. Like, not, I don't know if it's the exact psyop, but it's more of the distraction to get people away, and it just leads people into dissension, into fighting about it, right?
Right.
Just like anything else.
I agree that it is highly likely that is a total distraction. I mean,
but being, like I said, though, I think there is something to that effect. It's just not what it's being explained in the Mandela. But yeah, rewind it if you didn't hear what I said, everybody. You get it.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
I think it is a psyop too.
Yeah. But
go ahead.
Some aspect of truth being behind it, though, like something with our reality we don't understand that could be pointed to in that same kind of way. Do you know what I'm trying to say there?
No.
So just like I'm trying to think of a psyop and how I could explain this. Okay. So you know how a lot of people will say the earth is round, and then a lot of people will say, no, it's a flat earth. And then there's some people who say, well, I don't think it's round, but I don't think it's exactly what the flat earth people say. in that same respect, I don't think it's exactly what the Mandela people say, but there is something maybe probably going on there, but it's not all this stuff we're told. That's stuff to be thrown in there. That's the distraction stuff. It's easily proven, but by the people who are very logical and then by the people who are very dreamy or whatever it is that go down rabbit holes, it's easier for them to get misled one way because of it. And but I think there is something with our reality we don't understand that that is mirrored somehow by that or something, you know, it relates to it somehow. I don't know. So there's something there. I just don't want to say I don't think all these people are crazy. I think there is something there, but I think you're just in a trap somehow, you know, just like you could be in a trap. Anyway, you see a bit of truth and you jump out of the frying pan into the fire and you just get caught in the next thing. So I think it's one of those type deals. And again, I don't see, I'm sure I'm caught in my own trap. So I'm not like perfect over here, but.
Yeah, I see what you're trying to say and why you brought up the double cross, because you don't want to assume that it's exactly what they're telling you it is. But then when you dig deeper, you don't also want to go for the second the next level that they want you to think it is. But I don't see it that way, because the way I feel like I'm explaining it to my own self is I'm using logic to look at things. Like, okay, so here's another.
Exactly. So I think that there's a way to look at it in a different way, intuitionally, where we know on some level we're being lied to about this reality and it manifests that way. So maybe there is a way to change, not to say there's a way to change the past, but there's just a different way to perceive things. And we perceive everything as having linear past, present, future, when maybe that's not really the way it's exactly playing out. I know this is like high level, like crazy, like, you know, what are you smoking over there? But
yeah, what are you smoking over there? I'm just kidding.
Good stuff. But yeah, so I think that I think there's something going on to this nature of our reality. I'm sure. I mean, who knows what, but where it we're just perceiving it different. So these type of things would scratch that itch, right? So you have this itch because you realize reality isn't exactly what you've been told. There's something going on and you're like, oh yeah, that shit wasn't what I remember. They're changing things, right? And then you feel like you're validated and you're letting that out. You're like masturbating with that, right? It's like the porn of that. But there's something to it, you know, that there's something, you're onto it, but you're just being led a different way, you know? I think we beat this to a dead horse, but yeah, I think you get it.
Yeah, I just...
I see what you're saying, though. You definitely can debunk it from your side and all the examples, but I'm just talking about like... yeah, you'll see. If anyone has any comments on this, please comment below. Let us know. Yeah.
Yeah. So I are we done talking about it?
Or? Oh, no. Go ahead.
I was just going to bring up another example just to show the logic behind, you know, what I'm thinking. So one of the examples was like, allegedly, that your heart has moved.
Yeah, I like this one.
Because it always used to be on your left side. And like when you say the Pledge of Allegiance, you put your hand, you know, on the left side of your chest. And, but that doesn't mean that's exactly where the heart is, just because you put your hand there. Okay. And so I went looking for images online of like, where's the heart? Not that I believe them, because they're just images. They're just artist renditions too. So can I believe that? But I mean, yeah. Do you feel your heartbeat? Yeah. Around that area. Yeah. But allegedly the heart is moved to the center. So, but what if it's just always been where it's at and you're relying on these people to tell you, oh, no, it's here because, oh, the artist drew it like this in all the books of, you know, all your medical books and stuff. And so just because they say so, that's where it's at. I mean, when a doctor actually is like doing a checkup on you, where does he put the thing to listen to your heart? Yeah, it's right around there. So like it's moved into the center of your cavity because someone said so. Like, I don't, that to me, like it's like hearsay stuff. And I can't rely on hearsay. Like feel your own body. Like, what does it tell you? Where does your heart beat when you put a stethoscope there? Like, where do you feel, we hear it, you know? Clearly when you're getting a physical, they put it around that area. So
the what, center or to the left?
Kind of toward the left.
Now
here's the thing. When I looked at the image of the heart, it's almost like it's not even dead center. It's like centered, but because of the way the heart is, the shape of it kind of more protrudes to that part.
Yeah.
So that's probably why. But it's still relatively centered. It's just that it protrudes more in that direction.
And yeah, it's because I think the way it was explained to me when I was younger is it's more there. They would say it's off center to the left, or it's like.
Exactly.
So that makes more sense, because maybe just the way it was explained to people.
Exactly.
Like when maybe what happened was you put your, it's, you know, you salute whatever. This is another way to salute. And then people were like, well, why are you doing it that way? Like, well, because your heart's a little more to the left. I don't know. You know, it was just like,
yeah.
Maybe somebody came up with it real quick on the fly and then it just stuck, you know?
Yeah.
That would be hilarious if that was the case. Cause your heart's a little to the left and everyone's just like, all right, we're running with this one. And then all of a sudden now, like people are fighting about it hundreds of years later.
But right. Yeah, and
yeah, go ahead.
Again, like, I think it's, like you said, it's a distraction, because all it does is it causes a division of people. Mm. No, it's this way. No, it's that way. I mean, can't people see that that's what it's doing? But here's an interesting thing. So that guy, Walter, we'll call this other guy Russell. He was talking to him and he was on the same Discord. And Walter told me, I asked Russell about all of these things. And he's like, and they all fail. Like, it failed. In other words, he remembers them as they are today. So they didn't work on him. The Mandela effect didn't work on him. So,
or like, he's part of the new reality, Sharon. How dare you?
Or he's the parallel universe that we like merged into.
Yeah, yeah. Now merging.
But here's the thing. There are things that he was mentioning to me that I remembered the way that the Mandela allegedly says we did. And I'd say Mandela just to mimic the way Big Bear says it, because it's funny. But yeah, so I forgot what I was saying. he was talking about the merging. So, you know, the guy was, you know, in parallel universe zero and we're one and we're merging or whatever. I mean,
I think another thing that it could be, kind of going off what I was saying before, that didn't make much sense unless you're real high. Was that the way that our brains work and the way that the different personalities, or however you want to look at it, like some people look at it as astrology, some people will say like Myers-Briggs or personality aspects, or just different ways we see the world, right? The way I feel, there's different ways different people's brains work. So some people, this could be one of those things where, for example, we'll just say type A person or type X. Type A views a thing one way, type X does it all the way this way. And just because of the way type X does, especially if people are engaging heavily in escapism and they're in loops and they're not really paying attention that well, things can appear this way to them. And then the other way, things can appear a way to these people. So it just could be this perfect storm of something that it's just like the way the abortion argument is fucking like such a crazy argument, because if it's like, well, isn't it my body, my choice if it's my kid? And then like some people are like, yeah, but you're killing somebody. And my thing was always like, yeah, but if people want to kill their shitty kid, fucking what are you going to do? You know, But it's like that middle ground. And again, I'm not for abortion at all. But if someone wants to kill their shitty kid, it's like, let them kill their shitty kid. No, just but don't take my money to pay for it. Obviously, I get that argument. So, but what I'm saying is, it's like they find these little arguments or whatever, or these ways of viewing the world that just conflict. Just like when you get somebody who's in some kind of relationship with somebody or in a close proximity and they just butt heads all the time, but this is just on a massive scale. So I think that could be a lot of it too, you know. Like you said, one guy remembered it perfectly and the other guy's like, no, I think, you know, maybe the spells work more on one guy because he's just in a different psychological or a different.
Well, see, that's what I was thinking, and I don't want to, you know, make fun of people or say people are, you know.
No, I watched planes crash into, well, I ain't gonna talk about it, but anyway.
What I was gonna
say. Go get them, boys. Trust me, I was there, and then I'm like, what's going on? Yeah, so we all fall for things and whatever.
I remembered what I was gonna say.
Good.
I remembered some of those things, and others I didn't remember
That's how normally I do it too.
So to me, it was like I was halfway. So it doesn't really like apply that much because, yeah.
Plus, I understand that my memory is like it's kind of shot anyway. But I do
exactly
remember certain things very well. But I never saw Field of Dreams. I don't think I saw the whole movie. But I do remember seeing some sort of commercial a bunch. So I think that's the code cracker on that. I mean, again, I could be wrong, but I feel it does work in that similar manner. You just hear something and it gets repeated and one person says something and after you know, it's kind of like, you know how sayings get screwed up, you know, like.
Yes. That's the whole lion and the lamb thing. I think that's how that either that or what you said, which is like somebody wrote a book or something. And then that became a thing. And then everybody was like, yeah, the lion and the lamb. So the more you repeat it, the more you hear it, the more like, oh, that's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. Of course, that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
That's exactly. You nailed it. And it could be, again, like it could be a parallel religious book that was out there that a bunch of people saw and then they just. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So here's the thing,
go ahead.
When people think that this Mandela thing is real, they will say like, when you look at the Bible now, all the Bibles have the update as if like time just like warped and like, all the Bibles just changed. And it's like, that's just ridiculous. Like that's illogical. And that just doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't.
Yeah. You're like, how dare you?
I know.
No, I get it. You're right. It's this is the thing. So let's look at it this way. I think it could be right. Listen, it could be true. I'm not going to say it's not. I'm not going to like bet my life. Well, whatever, because I'm not afraid to die. But I'd be like, sure, it ain't true, bitch. let's say that there's always part of me that's going to leave it open to mystery. And somehow maybe it is true. And I just am not seeing it.
99.99%. Just kidding.
I'm more like 92. No. So anyway, if it was a good year in 1992. But if. So what we'll say is we have something else we want to kind of discuss that backs out of this and attacks it from a whole different angle. Whereas even if it is true, at the end of the day, we're going to make an argument to where we think that it doesn't really matter as much as some other things that we should be looking at in our own lives, you know?
Exactly.
See, that's the diplomatic way to put it right there.
The takeaway is these things are not important. They're all based on things that
be not important, or could they be based on things? Let's not make any claims yet, Sugar. And let's lay our case out and then we'll make some claims. I'm just picking on you. I love practicing this stuff. But yeah, what I want to say is we'll get into it and say that, okay, so say it's all real, right? What if it is all real? What's it preventing you from doing? Okay. And this is a good this is a good experiment to do, because it's kind of like experiment I tell people to do when they're worried about something. I go, well, just imagine that everything goes wrong. Just kind of take yourself through it. And again, this isn't to like steep yourself in this and like exist in it and worry about it for like a week and imagine what's going to happen if it goes wrong. No, it's like you sit down, take a quick experiment, and you go from step A to B, you know, to C. Okay, so an example, say you, you know, like I'm a wedding DJ, right, and I'm worried about performing and like if I mess up or whatever. So I'm like, okay, what happens? So say if my equipment blows up, and then I can go down these like rabbit holes, right? And then you're like, what's the worst that can happen? And then this way you can kind of confront it in a controlled atmosphere and you, a controlled setting. It's like a sparring partner that you're creating with this scenario. And then again, you got to let it go. You don't want to sit there too long because you don't want to manifest things to happen, right? Or worry about it. So you do that. And if you kind of do the same thing with the Mandela, you go down the rabbit hole with it a little bit and like, how is it going to affect my life? And yeah, you could look at it and how it's could be this whole disastrous thing and it's crazy and all this stuff. And it really reminds me of how people talk about with the government and a lot of regulations and if they get overboard and what's going to happen, like, what if they start putting people into camps and all this stuff? Well, it's like, go down that whole thing and just, you know, same thing with this Mandela, like, how is it really going to affect you at the end of the day? What's your attitude about it?
What? Yeah. You bringing that up makes me think this. And I thought about this too, as I was thinking about the Mandela effect. It's literally gaslighting you. It's like they're the narcissist and they're gaslighting you. And they're telling you everything you ever knew isn't, you could be wrong. It could have changed. And now like you're crazy because you think it was this way, but it's really not. It's like, it's total gaslighting like narcissists do to you. This is lying to you and trying to make you think that you're crazy for thinking something.
Yeah.
When they're the ones who, I don't know whoever they are, but leading you into this trap of like making you think you're crazy because, oh, it used to say this, but now it says this, or no, it was always this way. It's a form of gaslighting. So to me, it's that really is the tell that it's bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I'm glad you said it that way, cause I'm able to form my point a little better. What I was trying to say is it's like, even if they are right and everything's changing and stuff like that or whatever, it's like, why would it be being done or why are people telling you this? It's because it looks like they're trying to put you into despair. It's kind of like when I tell people,
exactly,
when people want me to do, you know, when they control whatever, when I feel like I'm getting this push from the outside to do something, wear a mask, you know, it's like, I'm like, no, man, you know, I just can't do it. It's a push from the outside. I realize what's going on here, you know? So it's that. So what I do, it's like, okay, here's my example. I always use when I'm playing poker. A lot of times I don't know exactly what my opponent has in his hand. Like I don't know his hand, but sometimes I could tell by his behavior what he wants me to do. Now, if I know he wants me to just fold, and I could tell he's not just like acting, like I could, you know, get some tells or whatever, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go all in, even though I don't know. I trust in my instincts. So it's that same thing where if people want you in despair and they tell you they're controlling your past and they're changing it, and even if they are, it's because they want to confuse you and control you. Just do the opposite. Don't let them do it. Just go out and have a nice day. You know, just because they're if they are controlling it, like I said, you could still go out in the woods and it's fucking beautiful out there. I was just there. Let me tell you, dude, just what I'm saying is, you know, get out there despite no matter what it is, have the best time you can. And this isn't about like engaging escapism and going and partying. It's like, no, enjoy your life, build it, make it what you can, because if that's the case, then it could be that you can also create your own reality. And then maybe you should do that. Cause if you're not, then who is doing that? And those are the important questions that I want to bring it back to. But anyway, thank you, Sharon, because that made me definitely condense my point a lot quicker. I was getting lost in the weeds there.
No, that's fine. Also made me think of that when you were talking, so that was good. Cause I'd forgotten about that point. But yeah, what you just said, it just basically means stop watching TV and go outside and do, you know what I'm saying? Like,
or stop watching YouTube videos and stuff like this. And I get it. Like, the nature of this reality is insane, man. It's not what the fuck we were told. I get it, dude. It's not what we were told, right? But this is the thing I focus on. It's not, we were always told it was a physical material experience. We're coming out of the physical material age, but everything is materialism and it's all hard and you could feel it in your hands and we could see everything. But what if we can't perceive and see everything around us? What if there's other things going on? What if there are lovely light beings right around us that we can't see, in darkness and all the stuff we can access? But it's just based how, okay, so if that was the case, how could we interact with those beings if we can't see them? Well, we can align our behavior with the ones that we want to help us.
Exactly.
And guess that's what?
What?
No, I was going to say, and then when you do that, that would be, in my mind, that's a signal to those beings. So if you think they're evil and good and neutral, whatever. So if you're acting neutral, the neutral ones are going to be around. If you're acting in a way like the divine way that Christ said you should act, and, you know, do unto others or do not do unto others how you don't want to be treated, that kind of stuff. Could it be that these creatures are going to see that and they're going to be like, wow, this guy has this whole world. He can go engage in any sense pleasure. He could do drugs. He could go womanize, you know, you could go manimanize, you know, but no, seriously, you could go do whatever you want. Right. But instead, they choose to sit down on a pillow for 10, 20 minutes a day and meditate, and they choose to help people, send them links all the time, whatever it is, you know, they're always looking out for their other person instead of themselves. And then these beings that are out there that look out for other people instead of themselves are going to be like, yo, this is how, you know, this is how we do it. They're going to align with you. And they're like, this is how we help each other. You know, it's kind of like that. And I know, again, this sounds way out there and crazy, but as above, so below. That's all I'm talking about. You know, there, if you think we go to heaven and whatever kind of view you have, or we can, there's another layer of consciousness we can attain, or, you know, we turn into spirit or whatever it is, you know, it could be that beings had to go through this before us and they're up there or whatever. I mean, whatever it is, I don't know, but I would rather be acting like them than the other ones. Cause then if you act like the other ones, I know, trust me, I have, and it's a whole different experience. You get help too. Trust me, you get synchronicities and help, but it's not the help you want. Like,
or that you should want, I suppose.
Yeah. But there's nothing wrong with it, you know, like that's how you learn. You got to get burned before, you know, fire is dangerous. So
some people do. Yeah. This some people have to get burned first.
Dangerous. Yeah. Some people definitely need to get burned first. Sharon, back to you.
No. Yeah. So very well said. Maybe we could finish with this, with the next thing that I was going to bring up, which is, when you're talking about things like this and these like alternate universes that are colliding with others and forming the alleged Mandela effect, you also get the topic of like, well, do we live in a simulation, and is our next door neighbor an NPC, which is a non-playing character, non-playable character in a video game. Yeah. So like you'll get people asking you, when was the last time you saw your neighbors take out their groceries and you know, out of their car and into their house? And it's like, okay, first of all, my neighbors have garages and so do I. And I usually probably close the garage by the time I'm pulling my groceries out. So like, no, I probably haven't seen them, but I do know my neighbors. And I have hung out with them, and I've even eaten dinner and lunch with them sometimes. So I know that they're real. They're not, you know, whatever you would think an NPC is, whatever that is. But what are your thoughts on that?
I just want to say how I love your passion and your fire. It's so great because you like state this thing. You're like, all right, people think there's NPCs, and you're like, how fucking dare you, idiot, like think that. But you're just like, you just hit them with this logic. And it's just like, I love it though, because it's so true, because most people are going to be like, yeah, but for the ones that don't, I'll add a little more, because, you know, there might be still some of those hold honors that are like, how dare you? The NPCs are real. There's these people. And let me back up and explain NPC a little better just for people who might not be too familiar. When we say non-playable character, what we mean is some people think that, like a video game, how, so if you think of Grand Theft Auto be the example, you can be different characters, right? And you could play them and you could go throughout the game and you could do different things. But then there's other characters that you interact with that you just talk to and you can't play as them. And they have like a loop that they're in, right? And there you always interact with them. It's like these, when I used to play Grand Theft Auto, you'd have like girlfriends you could like pick up and date and like take out, or you could just like smack them around. It was terrible, right? But it was awesome at the same time. Anyway, the world is perfect, Sharon. How dare you? So there's people that have come to this whole thought of, well, maybe there's, if we're in a simulation, which simulation theory is similar to, a lot of people think that we live in a matrix type simulation somehow, or like these different universes that only some of us really matter. And the rest of us are this AI, this artificial intelligence that are just looping and going through running programs. And like when you're not there, kind of like if you've seen the movie Truman Show, those are all actors, right? They just, at the end of the day, when Truman's not there, they're just like smoking cigarettes, whatever. And then when he comes, they're like, oh shit. So it's like that, but they're just, instead of an actor, they're just an AI, like a, because it's a simulation. So it's just a thing that pops up. So what you say is, and
they're
what
just
I'll say
a program, basically.
Just a
they're
program. Just a and again, character. Yeah. And if what you said didn't knock people's sense into them, what I'll say is, even if it is true, even if they are NPCs, wouldn't it be better to, you know, err on the side that they're not, if you don't have any direct evidence? And actually, if this is a simulation, don't you think you would get better off by treating everybody kind of how, you know, the golden rule, saying the natural law? And again, this isn't that you're everybody's, you're not a little bitch boy, right? Man, I'm really letting the swears fly today. Oof, I'm on fire. Yeah. So no, you are just in alignment with natural law, the golden rule of karma. You are existing and you're not, you know, you're going along your day and you're not harming anybody that's not harming you, and you're not doing anything that to people that they don't want done. But then if somebody, you know, if you have to defend yourself and it comes and there's life or death and stuff like that, so, you know, you're within your rights to, and I've talked about this many times, but you're within your rights to take action at that case. You know, I say that force would be the manifestation, but you have like violence and then you have like self-defense. So you can use force in a violent way and hurt somebody, or you can use force in a way to defend yourself. So people will say, oh, it's all violence. No, that's, you know, this is more of what I'm talking about. So anyway, not to get lost on that, but if you are maintaining in the simulation, wouldn't you want to play by these rules that it looks like are pretty set out by every religion? Even though most religions, we always talk about how there's like a gravel in there and there's some form of control. But if you look at the central figure, Christ, Buddha, Krishna, all these people, and the way they talk about how you should live and the way that their example is, shouldn't you want to attain to that? So then maybe you can get out of this simulation, if that's what it is. You know, you can unlock the key and the code, because I tell you, if you start living that way, in my own experience, it's insane, the synchronicities and the things that happen and the people, the way you affect them, and you just let go and you just realize that you're not the center, right? You're not the person who's running the video game. Everybody is. And if you just step back a little bit, and again, that's not to say that you let people walk over, you know, you establish boundaries, you have your space, but that's it, man. It's not all yours. You're not the Lord of the Nine Realms or whatever they used to say in Lord of the Rings. Like, you know, no, this is you right here. Whatever you can do and work for and build and you create, that's you. You know, outside of that, it's other people, and you respect that. And you, if you can view life that way, man, everything changes, because you don't have to go around woke raping people and tell people how they should live. They see that you're happy and they get that feeling. And a lot of people want to just emulate it. And yeah, you get some people that get negative and they're going to spit or, you know, fire, like poison and all this stuff, but whatever, you just let it roll off your back. It's like, yeah, it's because they're haters, man. Just go listen to a Biggie song. He'll tell you.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Not that I know Biggie stuff, yeah, but
take my word for it.
Yeah.
Play a hater. Lay on the ground. Oh my God. Yeah. All right. I got to stop. But yeah, I think you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. So another thing that I think about when I think of people saying that, you know, what if your neighbor's an NPC? I just think to myself that every, like, if there's a life in something or someone, like, it has a spark of life. It is conscious. It is a conscious being. It was created. So how can you say that someone, you know, that you see walking around who has a spark of life is an, like, how can you say that that's an NPC, that, oh, that's just a program that was written and they're just behaving in the programmed way that they're supposed to? I know that we talked about this before, where we talk about, like, can people be programmed? But it's like, yeah, some people walk around like that just because they, that's what they're doing in life right now. They're just, they're in zombie mode because they choose to be in zombie mode. That's, but it's right. Not because
you're reminding me of something. Go ahead, keep going. But I'm so excited. Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, but it's not because they've been, like, they're a computer program that just is, you know, something that was written into a video game. Like, you're clearly not a video program. So they're not a video program. You have a spark of life.
Are you sure?
No, I'm sure. They have a spark of life, right? Yeah. It's like, so, and then, so to me, when they're talking about this whole thing and they've allowed this concept or these ideas to even penetrate their field of whatever, their brain, their mind, it's allowing things that are just ugly. Like, all of a sudden, if they're an NPC, then eugenics is okay, because it's okay because they're all NPCs. I'm not an NPC, but they're all NPCs. So if they die, whatever. Like, how is that loving your neighbor as yourself? How is that caring about your fellow man? It's absolutely disgusting. Yeah. I don't know. That's just how I see it.
Yeah, no, that's again, you're smashing with that logic. Everything you're saying is true, and you're just blasting with that truth. And I'll just add more to it, which would be, you know, first I want to say again, to reiterate what I said, like, even if this is the thing, you could be right about it. Maybe they are NPCs, or if you're wrong, they're a part of God. They're a part of you. You're only hurting yourself. And that's a real big gamble to take without any direct evidence, you know, just because it's your, it's gotta be that way. You know, that's what I heard on a YouTube video. Or these people are acting like a program. And that's what reminded me of what I wanted to say, which was our brains are similar to computers. And I think the whole simulation theory, the reason it resonates with a lot of people is because they see people acting like a computer or like a program, or they'll see how life sometimes is like a computer or program with synchronicities and things that happen, and like deja vu, you know, it's a glitch in the matrix. And I think it's because we just have, could it be, maybe we have it a little backwards, like most of this world is inverted, it's backwards anyway. It's because the way we view the world from our brain, and we can't get out of that, that's just the way it is. And our brain is similar to computer, but it's because a computer is modeled on our brain. It's not because our brain, well, I mean, maybe our brain's modeled on a computer, but what I'm saying is, so the way that we perceive the world is like a computer. So we're going to see things that way. And then other people, I feel, when they get caught in escapism, we've talked this before about this before, or whatever it is that they're doing, it's, they start to display a pattern and they just get into caught in the loops. And I noticed this when my cats were doing this, they displayed a lot of behavior. Inside cats are just always like going around in circles or like doing different things, or they go to affection for one spots. And it just, like, after a while, I'm like, wow, it's because there used to be wild animals outside, but now they're kind of like indoor slaves. Not that they're sad about it. They love, you know, because they're domesticated.
Are you sure?
Well, I mean, yeah, no, I mean, I know. But I mean, I was gonna say I do let them out now. Like the door is open, they come and go now. So but I'm usually outside with them, and then I'll let them in at, or I'll keep them in at night. But anyway, but in that same way, I feel humans could get in that pattern because we are animals at the end of the day. And I was just talking about this on the Terrible Podcast, TARROTBULL.com, with my lovely co-host Ashley earlier today. We recorded, and I was saying how this is what happens with people, because you can act from that lower animal state, the animal mind, and it's more about a me, it's a survival mode, it's more in the ego, the reptilian brain. And then, or there's another consciousness where we can attain because we're human. So we can go up, and we could, like you said, you want to treat people like you want to be treated, and you want to live by the golden rule, and you want to look out for other people and stuff like that. So you're attaining to the next level of consciousness, right? So some other people are just at a lower level, which is fine, because you have to engage. We were all
everybody's
there once.
Everybody's somewhere on their journey.
Yeah. And that's, I was able to get to on this path of the higher consciousness, whatever, awareness, because I engaged so much in the lower realm that I just got sick of it after a while. So that's what I feel you got to do really with this kind of stuff. And that's kind of what I think this is about. And then to go again, how it gets perceived. So you see all these people out in the world running these patterns. And as you start to wake up, you're like, wow, look at all these people. They look like computer programs. And it's because they are a slave to this computer program. And again, they say the brain makes a terrible master, but a lovely servant. So if you're a terrible mat, if you're a terrible slave to your own brain, you're a slave. And if you're not, you're a master of your brain, and you're a master, you know? So, and again, or you're in between somewhere, and that's what it's all about. So some days you're a master, some days you're a slave, but when it's, the more work you do, I'll say, in this area, like the meditation and looking self-work, it just, it's always, it accumulates. It's like you're building a pile. And even if you go away from it and come back to it, it's always, you're at, once your eyes are open to something, you can't close them again. You know, once you see it, you're like, all right. So
yeah.
Just be easier on yourself, everybody. That's all. No judgments here. Anyway.
Yeah. And one more thing before we close out, I wanted to bring up this, this breakdown of this movie called Free Guy. Because the movie just recently came out, and then Jay Dreamers with a Z at the end, he did a breakdown. It's about an hour and a half long, an hour and 20 minutes, I think, where he breaks down the movie, and he brings up these topics of, like, you know, NPCs and things like that. And I found it to be very, very interesting and very enlightening. So if anybody wanted to check it out, awesome. We can put it in the description.
Yeah. So it's making more work for me, Sharon. How dare you?
I will send you the link. Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. You, dude, you do so much. I'm just giving you a hard time. All right. Yeah. I think that we can end there. And I just want to say more. It's more about, really, again, at the end of the day, how do you view yourself? You listening to the show, you know, you don't have to answer me. I don't care. Who am I to you? But to yourself, how do you view yourself? Are you a victim? You know, are there people changing your reality? Are there people coming to get you? Are you, or are you like, I'm not a fucking victim. You know, I'm a man, I'm a woman, and I'm creating in this world. And when you create things, they can't take that away from you. They can't change that. If you make a kid, you know, they're not going to change that. I mean, again, people, things can happen, but what I'm saying is they can't rewrite that history, you know? So, create, get out there, make things, do art,
and overshare
and subscribe to our podcast. Go to Brandon Van Ans on YouTube. You could also, I'm gonna have to get these up on Comedy LOL at some point, so go over to comedylol.com and subscribe to the feed there. You can also get on iTunes, Stitcher, we're all great podcasts are found, Spotify, go to the iTunes or anything. Let's try that again. Type in Comedy LOL is one word, Comedy LOL, and it'll come up, and subscribe there. You can also listen to all the old podcasts from there. I've done all the Terrible Podcasts. There's a bunch of stuff there, so go check it out. And also comment wherever you see this. Let us know how you feel. Do you agree with us? Do you disagree? Did we change your life? We need to know. Hear it over, Sharon. We're changing lives. Because why?
If you're not over Sharon, you got to finish it.
You're not caring.
Right.
Exactly. All right, everybody. Until next time. Thanks for listening. my mouse isn't working.